take it over.
Thank you very much, Alex. It's a real privilege to speak to you and through you, hopefully to a large audience, some of whom have not heard from me before. So yes, I think it would be fair to say I am the most qualified former pharmaceutical company executive speaking anywhere in the world. That was true early in 2020 and it's still true now. Sadly, as you say, I have a proper training in biochemistry, toxicology, and then a research-based PhD on opiates and respiration. Then I spent 23 years in Big Pharma, leaving Pfizer as their vice president and worldwide head of respiratory research in 2011. And then I worked for 10 years in biotech. I founded a biotech company myself. I was the CEO, and I led that through financing, clinical trials, and it was acquired by Novartis in 2017. So the point of saying this is I think I am the peer scientifically of anyone you will hear on the TV in public health, like Dr. Fauci or Sir Patrick Vallance in the UK, or any of the senior pharmaceutical R&D staff that are running the vaccine R&D programs right now. I know personally three of the four people running it. And I realized very early on, March 2020, that basically we were under attack. And I knew this for this reason. We had imposed upon us lockdowns, an absurd prison slang type of approach for which there was no precedent anywhere in public health.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Your Skype broke up for 5 seconds. Please continue.
Okay. So, yeah. So basically the lockdown told us that there was a supranational plot, I'm afraid, to impose these measures upon us. And then if I just make three quick points. The first is we've been lied to by government officials and corporate types about absolutely everything to do with this so-called virus pandemic, the severity of the public health threat, the necessity to lock down asymptomatic transmission, the use of masks, mass testing, and finally, vaccines. Every single part of the narrative, every single part is a lie, scientifically proven. And I know that the people like Fauci, like Sir Patrick Vallance, were lying through the TVs to the audience because we share a common training. I trained at the same kind of universities at the same time. That meant we had the same foundational training, for example, in immunology. And then when they said things I knew were not true, I knew that they knew that too and that they were lying to you. And that was what kickstarted me from very early on.
Well, I'm not a famous, well-known scientist, top of your class like you, but I know basic things like learned immunity is better than artificial immunity. And they said, no, that's not the case. Or they said this was a vaccine when it wasn't a classic vaccine. I mean, they were attacking therapeutics that the Pentagon had tested years ago and said were really good for these type of viruses. So I was having the same concerns as a layperson. And then I saw your research and it really validated my basic understanding.
No, you're right. And in fact, I've got a couple of phrases people told me were very powerful. Just threw them out there. So I've got this rhetorical question, Alex. What's the right number of times your public health officials should lie to you in a way that could cost you your health or your life? What's the right number? Now, I think the answer is zero, right? They shouldn't deliberately tell you things that they know to be untrue. Well, you've just listed three or four. I've found six, seven, eight. There is no question. These people are lying to you. When people lie to you, it's to hide something or to introduce something. And I think they are introducing these so-called vaccines. And cuts of the chase, there was no necessity whatsoever to introduce something called a vaccine. Let me just explain why. The younger people my age, I'm 62, so a youngish fit person or younger, almost none of them died of this so-called virus. So why would you want to vaccinate all the population when most people have got perfectly satisfactory immunity? So that was one thing. And yet Bill Gates and others wanted a needle in every arm, and they still want a needle in every arm. But I've got something even more fatal to the narrative. Most people will know that you're offered, usually free, an annual flu vaccine. Well, the thing is, I had a look at the meta-analysis over a decade in the UK, and it turns out that flu vaccines do not reduce severe flu or deaths from flu in the UK. And I can tell you why they don't work. The reason that elderly, frail people are vulnerable is their immune system slowed down and doesn't respond well to new challenges, right? That sounds uncontroversial. Why in the world, Alex, would you think they'd respond well to vaccines? And they don't. So the people who get benefit don't need it, and the people who are at risk of death don't get the benefit. The whole thing is a lie. Don't go near these so-called vaccines, which I will talk about in depth.
We've got a few minutes to break, and we'll come back. But you've really called it years ago what was happening. But you've now said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but your own words, that this is a premeditated, poisonous or dangerous thing. Speak to how you know it's premeditated, and then why would they do it? Why would they think they're going to get away with it? Because now it looks like they're not getting away with it, thanks to you.
Well, I'm not the only one. I think the main weapon they have against people like me, and you will know all about this, is censorship. I'm probably one of the most censored people. I've been ejected off Twitter, and I've not been allowed back, despite my appeals. I can't comment under a YouTube video or post any. They get deleted in real time as I type them. I can't, you know, if you Google me, you'll find I'm a conspiracy theorist. But if you use something like Yandex, which is a Russian browser, you will find 80 interviews by me. So, you know, so basically they're not frightened of people like me because they figure that I won't be heard. So here's the thing. Please, listener, what I ask you to do is memorize two or three of the most powerful things I told you. You must go and tell 10 other people. Please don't tell me it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been trying to do this for almost 3 years. But the only way we'll win is if you tell 10 other people. The mass media is never going to tell them, right? They're never going to tell them. And they won't work it out on their own. They're still in the narrative.
Well, that's right. Stay there. That's so powerful, though. The people have to mobilize. They tell 10. They tell 10. Tell them tell 10. Chain reaction. Stay there, Dr. Michael Yeadon. We'll come right back. So, sir, please continue.
Yeah, no, certainly. You asked me, Alex, before the break, how I was so sure that this was deliberate rather than some sort of accidental overreaction. Well, what I can tell you is that this idea of telling us that there's a pandemic and using coordinated media to terrify people in every country, and then, as you said, using the lockdown, a kind of prison term, that's didn't just get worked out in the first quarter of 2020. I didn't realize till about a year, but at least 10 rehearsals have taken place. And I prompted your researcher to look and pick up a video by a German journalist called Paul Schreier, S-C-H-R-E-Y-E-R, on YouTube, surprisingly, called Pandemic Simulations, Preparation for a New Era. They have been running simulations of worldwide pandemics, mostly of respiratory disease, since 1997. And they've involved every country and institution, including coming up to the Bill Gates-sponsored event 201 at the end of 2019. They've rehearsed this again and again and again and again. That tells me it's deliberate, that they intended to execute this plan. So that's the first thing to say. And then the second thing, like I've said, is all the things they told us about the virus were lies, absolutely everything. It's not very serious. It doesn't kill many people. Children are not faintly at risk and so on. And that was so that they could get you used to taking orders from mass media people. You know, who are these people that they think they can order you and I around? But they've frightened people and got them used to jumping to orders. So that's one thing. But the main thing they wanted, I think, was to get people ready to roll their sleeves up and take a jab. Now, just before the break, I told you that flu vaccines do not reduce serious illness and death in the vulnerable. They don't reduce death. Well, I tell you what, even if these vaccines had been made well and delivered appropriately, they still wouldn't work because the people who would die of this so-called COVID-19 are the people who could not be helped by vaccination. Vaccination is the wrong strategy for any new outbreak like this. It should always be early treatment. So what are they doing? They've lied. They're going forward with a strategy that I've just explained as an expert could not possibly work does not work in the case of flu, and yet they've injected, I think, 5.5 billion people. For goodness sake, 5.5 billion people. And then I'm going to tell you, I don't know why other people aren't saying this in the industry. If you introduce to the human body mRNA, basically wrapped in lipid, which is like the Pfizer and Moderna products, if they get expressed, taken up in your body, you hijack the manufacturing machinery in your body, and you make whatever's encoded, Alex, you will be you will turn yourself into a virus protein or foreign protein factory. This is terrible. Your body demarks the inside and keeps it as self, and the outside is non-self. And when they mix, you get an immune reaction.
So when they skip, so when the shot skips the sinus and your body's first line of defenses, it goes in. Explain this, you're a scientist. It programs your cells to make the spike protein similar to prions, right?
Not necessarily. But the main thing is they're making a protein that does not belong in your body. Your body notices that those cells and tissues are expressing non-self. Your immune soldiers, your platoon, heavy weapons, go to work, and their job is to destroy that cell. That's how they stop you getting cancer every day. If there's a single cell that goes aberrant, tumorous.
So they know that it's going to cause an autoimmune response to the body.
Definitely. Every time. And here's the worst part, the thing that's, I mean, I wish it didn't, but things keep confirming what I guessed in 2020, which was this is totalitarian control, and ultimately they're going to depopulate, which sounds crazy. I was the sort of person who listened to the BBC and read the Times newspaper until 2020. I have no history of involvement in unusual campaigns, and I probably would have chuckled at conspiracy theorists, present company excepted. But I'm now joining you. It's absolutely obvious that if you inject people with mRNA, it doesn't matter what it encodes for. What did we hear a month ago? The pharmaceutical companies are remanufacturing all the old vaccines in mRNA form. And they've ordered, or there are business terms with each government for to buy 10 injections per man, woman, and baby in every country. And I can assure you, you could not possibly stand up to 10 of these injections. But I can see how easily they could put us in a position where you get no choice. So just cutting to the chase, what I think is going to happen, and I wish I wasn't being right, I think they will make digital ID mandatory, not necessarily vaccine passport, but that would do. Digital ID will become mandatory. You will not be able to shop or travel or work without it or get healthcare. And I think the other thing they'll do is withdraw cash and replace all currency with central bank digital currencies. At that point, Alex, if they say, if you don't get your next jab, we'll not allow you to buy gasoline or travel or buy food, that the system I've just described is trivial. It's already ready to go. So I say to people, use cash, diversify the businesses you buy from. Any business that won't take cash, tell them you're not going to work with them anymore. And for goodness sake, tell people. I don't care if it might be a little embarrassing. I can assure you what I've been doing the last few years has not enhanced my reputation with people I used to work with, the cowards. I'll call them out again. You know, Patrick Vallance, you're a liar. Matai Mammen, who was the head of R&D at Johnson & Johnson. I told him that he should resign before he gets imprisoned, and he's resigned. He resigned, making no announcement as to the reason why. Who else? Many Pangalos at AstraZeneca, you are a criminal. You need to sue me. Otherwise, you know, everyone will know what I've just said is true. So every person who's injected with a product that contains messenger RNA that codes for something that doesn't belong in your body will induce an autoimmune reaction. So here's the thing. This, I think, will resonate. No one else has said this. Have you noticed that there's a wide range of side effects from the existing mRNA vaccines, myocarditis, neurological conditions, brain blood clots, deep vein thrombosis, and so on? I think I know why. When you get injected with one of these materials, they don't deposit evenly around the body. That sometimes more of it will go to one vascular bed than another. So if it goes mostly to your heart, I think those are the people who've got myocarditis.
Stay there. This is too important. Longer segment to break.
Yeah, sure. Thank you. I was talking just before the break that when a person's injected with one of these mRNA so-called vaccines, they don't distribute evenly around the body. There'll be kind of lumpy distribution. And so I believe that wherever it lands in your body, in the heart or blood vessels in the brain or in your legs, whatever, if it gets taken up and expressed there, you end up showing non-self to your immune system, which comes in and destroys that tissue. And maybe cell by cell, it won't kill you on day one. But that's why people get progressive illness quite often, and they're just constantly sick. So here's the thing. If you get a lot of deposition in the heart, you'll get myocarditis or pericarditis. If you get a lot of distribution in your brain or spinal cord or peripheral nervous system, any one of a number of horrible neurological conditions that you've seen, people shaking uncontrollably and so on. If it lands in the back of your eye, you'll get loss of vision suddenly in one eye, and that's happened to two people I know. What else? If it lands in your ovaries, infertility, your immune system will destroy the egg cells in your ovary. If it lands in pregnant uterus, stillbirth, or premature delivery. So you get the point. What I've told you explains all the effects, the fact that people aren't becoming ill and dying, and the huge diversity of adverse events that they are just ignoring. It's all clearly there in public databases like VAERS in the US, very good system. The military has a similar system, shows same pattern, yellow card, and so on. Everywhere in the world, honest public health officials can see what I'm saying is true, but they're just lying, lying, lying.
And the insurance company actuaries are showing a massive increase in death, never before seen, correct?
They are, absolutely. Let's see. And then when people say, oh, well, it's COVID. No, it isn't. The people who are dying now are the people who've been injected. And a lot of those people are young and middle-aged people, which is why lots of workforces have enormous sickness absence rates at the moment. So you're right. The life insurance excess claims is for the working age population. They're not the people who typically would have perished with flu, you know, at 80 or 90 years of age. It's young people. It's all around the world, almost without exception, where COVID-19 vaccines have been, you know, rained upon the population. Just a quick point so that people will know you're being lied to. So, for example, we were told it's safe to give to pregnant women. Well, I can tell you, 60 years of experience since thalidomide has that produced a red line that operated all the way through my career. You never give experimental medical interventions to a pregnant woman, Alex. You never do it. Even if it might save her life, you still have to have that argument about whether it's worth risking birth malformations or killing the fetus. So that's one group. We never should inject people who already apparently had this disorder. Yeah, as you said, immunity from prior illness of the same type is the strongest defense. And then thirdly, we should never inject children. Not one of them in Europe died because of this so-called virus. So they're chasing pregnant women, your children or grandchildren, and they're chasing you if you've not been jabbed, even if you think you've had it already. These guys are literally, they are psychopaths at this point. And one thing I wanted to mention, people might say, well, if it wasn't as bad as you say, you know, this virus, and it wasn't an emergency, how did they all die? And I can tell you, medical murder. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. A lot of people were admitted to hospital, and if they had a positive test, PCR test, we were told they were a COVID admission. Those people were given remdesivir, which is a supposed antiviral, but it actually destroys the kidneys in about 20 to 30% of patients. It's so toxic you shouldn't give it.
And by the way, since you're a world-leading expert in opiates and drugs for surgery, I forget the name of the drug, but I saw it in the UK that the government stocked up on before COVID and that they gave patients that had COVID and were on respirators, but the drug was known to kill respiration. What was that drug?
Yeah, it's called midazolam, and the mixture of midazolam, which is it's like a granddaddy of Valium, so it's a real strong sedative. So midazolam, and they were also giving them morphine, which is like a fentanyl type drug. Midazolam, morphine, and remdesivir. But here's the thing: they're also giving them mechanical ventilation. what you would not be expected to know, and the public should not be expected to know, because they think of mechanical ventilation as life-saving. Well, sure, it is if you've come in with a road traffic accident or if you're having to have open chest surgery. But I tell you what, in my 30 years experience, we never ventilated someone of 80 with other diseases because they had flu. Why not? Really important, this one. Influenza-like illnesses, including COVID, are not obstructive airway diseases. They don't obstruct your airway. If you're breathless, you need oxygen, but you definitely don't want to be sedated, intubated, and ventilated, because that on its own is incredibly aggressive to an elderly person. And then they whacked IV remdesivir, midazolam, and morphine, and they did it at higher doses than usual. It's not hidden.
It was globally standardized. Even the UN had meetings that said, we're told what to do by Big Pharma. So Big Pharma got together in these confabs, decided the policy, did the drills beforehand, suppressed the therapeutics, suppressed speech, suppressed the truth, and then rolled something out, as you said, that's premeditated murder.
I'm afraid it is. Yeah, there's no question. There was no question about it. And you might say, well, or people might say, well, surely the doctors would know this is not right. No, only a small percentage of people, like ER people, or people who are skilled in acute medicine, would understand what I just said, that mechanical ventilation in the right place is life-saving and a miracle. For everybody else, stay away from it. And giving it to elderly people without obstructed airways, they just have flu-like illness. So you should give them oxygen and calm them down.
Sure, doctor, the time we have, and I can have you back for 10 hours. We were so gracious to join us. We got a few minutes to break. Just 35,000-foot view, and I want you to say it in your own words. You were on a show about a month ago. We played it a lot. And you said, look, I didn't really believe in God or any of this, but looking at this, it makes you know there's organized evil. Can you, in your own words, elaborate on that and restate that?
Yes, I certainly can. I mean, I've looked very hard for – people always ask me, why are they doing it? And they claim they're doing – well, they claim there's a necessity to reduce the population because the world is overpopulated. It's not true. If you look at the density of people on the planet – and the rate of growth now is almost zero. It's almost flattened out. People like Musk have said the biggest problem in 50 years is a falling population. So rule that one out. We're not overpopulated. We're also not running out of so-called fossil fuels. There's loads of coal and oil. And the climate, we are not destroying the climate. That they've had 50 years worth of lies on that front. So I've ruled out the things I would like there to be a reason, and I get to the conclusion that they're doing it because they can. I think they've been planning it for decades. And secondly, I think they believe it's their, I don't know, a birthright. I do believe it's diabolical. It's not science-based. These people, they want control, and they're quite happy to, I think they're going to kill 90% of the population if we don't stop them. So, but here's a point. One of the ways they'll do it, the WHO, I think is a horrible organization. It's not really anything to do with health. They are trying at the moment, folks, to get all the countries of the world to sign updated international health regulations, whereby in the event it's a public health emergency of international concern, then Tedros, the head of the WHO, I'm not kidding you here, will have legal autonomy, legal power to set health policy in your country, in the US, in Europe, in the UK. And they're close to doing it, the international health regulations. But I should point out to you that even if you trusted the WHO, it's mad to centralize power when you're facing a new challenge. How have humans solved new challenges? The answer is they've done lots of different experiments. Different communities. Like I said, they lied to us from the beginning, and the right number of times that your public health officials will lie is zero. As soon as you realize they are lying, why would you believe anything else that they say? And then the main theme about the so-called vaccines is that even if the narrative was accurate, which is not, they would not work. They're not life-saving, just as flu vaccines are not life-saving. And in particular, these messenger RNA creations, when they're expressed in various tissues of your body, cause your body to attack that tissue, and it will happen automatically. It's not an accidental side effect. It's built into the mechanism. So I describe these as toxic by design. And that's why I know it's deliberate and malign. I would say it's immunology 101. You would be taught it in the first couple of weeks of any basic immunology course. That's how you distinguish self from non-self and keep yourself, you know, safe and healthy. So do not allow yourself, no matter the price and the punishment and the threats, to be injected by these mRNA products. If you've been unfortunate enough to have had one, today's a good day to resolve not to have any more. And there are several groups working on potential antidotes and recoveries. But don't take the chance. They're not there for your health. They're there ultimately to, I think, to depopulate. But, so what are they going to do? Just to say it again, I predict that we will see ever more encroachment over our freedom of movement, our freedom to buy things, our freedom to consume, you know, fresh natural products, for example, and things will become more and more, you know, factory farms, including the ghastly news I heard tomorrow. The EU will approve a law that allows them to add a ground up cricket flour to almost every baked goods. And people don't know about the stuff. They're going to be eating these. But the other thing I predicted, as I said earlier, is the introduction of a mandatory digital ID. They'll say, oh, well, you really need to have one in order that we know that it's you that's operating your bank account. Alex, I'd point out banks have been around for centuries. We've never needed a digital ID, and we do not need one now. So reject it. Push back any bank.
By the way, just to interrupt, back to the crickets. I've seen a bunch of studies that the chitin shell of bugs, humans aren't meant to eat those. We can eat grubs and things that don't have that, the larval form, but it's very toxic to mammals, particularly humans, to eat bugs.
Yeah, we do not have the enzymes in our guts to break down the shell chitin, as you said. We cannot eat it. So, you know, they might say, oh, well, we'll take the wing cases off and we'll just use the squashy parts. It's a revolting idea. And the whole basis of it, that meat is environmentally bad, is just BS. So, you know, don't let them do it to us. And don't let them. So I've explained why digital ID is the heart of tyranny. You do not need it. You've never needed it. You don't need it now. Someone's trying to make you have one, and they're giving you bullshit reasons why you must have one. I think if they say without digital ID, you can't travel overseas, I would say, well, I'm going to campaign against it, and I ain't traveling overseas until I win.
That's right. We got to draw a line in the sand. But you said some really eloquent words. Can you repeat them or expand on them about Nuremberg II prosecutions? Yeah. What needs to be done? Fauci, gain of function.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've just listed out several of the things that public health officials and senior people in pharmaceutical companies, at a minimum, and there are many others, they've lied to us. They've destroyed or damaged, with the intention to destroy, the economy of the developed world. And I think that's deliberate. I think they want to tell us, oh dear, the economy's broken, everyone's lost confidence in your currency, but the Bank of International Settlements and we, like the Federal Reserve, working together, will bring out cashless central bank digital currency. The combination of digital ID, mandatory, and cashless CBDC is the end of your freedom. We must not let this happen. So use cash. I don't care. You know, it cannot be too inconvenient to save your life by going to an ATM if you haven't.
Oh, this makes me want to move to the country next to Amish and start bartering with them. I mean, the whole future is going to be getting away from this.
Exactly. So I've written, you know, so use the cash, do some basic preparation, you know, whatever. I'm not a prepper, but I make sure that I know what my next move is. So I will minimize the degree to which they can.
But what about when you talk about going on the offense, though, peacefully, to prosecute them and nip it in the bud?
Yeah. Obviously, it's not my field of expertise, but I have written affidavits for at least 10 different court cases. So yes, I think wherever in the world and on whatever basis related to all these COVID lies and the poisonous injections and the terrible hospital treatment, on any of those bases, we need to attack, you know, using law, as well as letting people know that this is happening and just trying to persuade them. As soon as people turn off mass media and start to think, they realize what I've said to you is absolutely true. So I'd say never give up, because these people are not going to.
No, I agree. And how powerful it is that even if Musk hasn't let you and I back on, the people that really have an effect, that at least a lot of the stuff's coming out proving big pharma with big tech colluded to suppress people. I mean, that is a scandal of scandals.
Absolutely. I'm not a bragging person, but I think the reason they have not allowed me back on, Alex, is that I am absolutely kryptonite for their narrative. People will believe me because I'm telling the truth. I've lost money. People say I'm a grifter. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've made not $1 in earnings, and I've not accepted $1 in gifts.
Which I think is your mistake. When you're champion freedom, you should be writing books. You should be...
The point is, the point I wanted to make there is I'm not making money from this, even though I could, and I think that improves the confidence the audience should have that I'm doing it.
But what proves it is you filed stuff with the EU in 2000 saying everything was going to happen that did. You're totally vindicated in spades.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, what is going on at high level is incredibly simple. I read the canon of American sci-fi as a teenager. And this plot is really dull. It's horrible and frightening, but it's really straightforward. Digital ID, roll up for your vaccine, else we will not let you.
Mad medical scientists kill most of us. The rest of us are sick for life. Make us so sick we got to be in artificial wombs. Take over the human species. I mean, it's a THX-1138 meets Brave New World meets the Matrix.
It is. It's all of that. So what else? I would say engage local leaders. If you've got a sheriff or a city mayor in a small town or whatever, go and find these people. Just take a half an hour meeting respectfully, turn up with just two or three pieces of information that says we're clearly being lied to. It's not as described. And this guy, you know, Yeadon and Malone and McCulloch and so on, are really worrying me.
And the good news is we're starting to win, but we can't give up now. We got to push. Because like you said, they've got new pandemics ready. They're drilling for.
Yeah, and the pandemics are, I think I should tell you, pandemics are actually impossible. And I'll explain what severe respiratory disease pandemics are impossible. Let me say why. That just like Ebola, if you've got a really serious respiratory infection, you become symptomatic the day you're infected, and that means you withdraw from circulation. You're sick in your bed, in your living room, or in bed. So that means you've stopped infecting other people. It's literally not possible to have a severe respiratory disease pandemic, and that's why we've never had one. The Spanish flu, they've lied to us about that. People died of bacterial pneumonia in a pre-antibiotic era.
All right, Dr. Michael Yeadon, incredible. Please come back soon for a commercial-free podcast.
I'd love to.